Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh.
Hey, ho, ho! He's got the bills, I've got to go. Hey, hey! Ho, ho!
A number of students were protesting in Jefferson City this week as the legislature debates what's being called the transgender bathroom issue. This as legislators are in recess. What's on tap for the second half of the legislative session? Joining me to talk about it all is Marshall Griffin, St. Louis Public Radio's State House reporter. Marshall, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Got the day off, huh?
No, actually, I'm putting but it's a lot quieter here and a lot less going on. But, yeah, I'm working on a couple of different stories today.
Yeah, sure did get a little noisy earlier this week. How large a group was down there?
Actually, it was not a very large group. A total of about 21 people, roughly a dozen of them were actual students. And there were the others were a few parents and also just some supporters who came to lobby for what was called the Trans Youth Lobby Day, and they came here to encourage lawmakers to oppose Senate Bill 98, which would be Missouri's version of the bathroom bill,
which I assume from what I've heard so far is probably going to be passed.
Well, that remains to be seen. It's been sitting. It's been sitting in committee for about 2 or 3 weeks now, and it probably will get a committee vote and go to the floor of the Senate. However, there's only about 7 weeks, 7 or 8 weeks. I got to do the exact count here until the session ends. So time is not on their side, and it also remains to be seen if there's going to be any business interests who will start lobbying against this bill. At this point, there hasn't been a whole lot of activity from various business groups. So at this point, you know, I think if we see some significant movement, or we see that it's going to move significantly forward, I think that's when we're going to see maybe some of the business community come out and say, you know, wait a minute, we don't want to, you know, not be able to host another, Major League Baseball All-Star game, or miss out on NCAA tournament games, which North Carolina is dealing with now, those types of issues. So at this point, it's still a little, it's not a slam dunk yet.
Yeah, well, that was an important issue in North Carolina. There were a lot of dollars were at stake with regard to those people boycotting the state.
Yes, and plus, you know, if anyone that follows college basketball knows that the Tar Heel State is one of the meccas of college basketball. It's where college football dominates a lot in the Deep South. North Carolina is one of those states where it's college basketball is king. So, and hosting the ACC tournament there's a city called Greensboro that has been the traditional home of the ACC postseason basketball tournament, in addition to hosting regular NCAA tournament games, and that's both men's and women's games.
I'd like to take a listen to one of the young people who was at that demonstration earlier this week. Ramon Flores gave his reasons for being there in the first place.
I'm passable, is what they call them, for trans people to look like a woman. So you're basically going to tell me to go to a men's restroom where I can get beaten, harassed, and basically assaulted for any reason. You know, it's just not validating.
Marshall, this really boils down in many respects to a safety issue, doesn't it?
It does. These students, and I got to spend some time with them earlier in the week when they were here, they're concerned about their personal safety, and their parents are concerned about their personal safety as well. If this bill were to become law and they would be required by law to either go to an alternate restroom set up for them, which that is a provision in the bill, or if a school doesn't do that, then to use a facility that corresponds to the gender that they were when they were born. They're worried that that could lead to incidents of not just bullying, but actual physical violence.
Of course, if alternate facilities are set up, then it just clearly points out who these young people are, and that's what isolates them as potential targets.
That's what they were saying, too. You know,
yeah.
One of the group leaders, an adult who was there as well, Morgan Keenan is his name. He's with Missouri GSA. He basically compared it to, you know, this would be like separate but equal. that we saw during the civil rights movement 50 to 60 years ago, when you had separate facilities based on race, that this would basically be a similar setup where you would have separate facilities based on gender identity.
Has there been any discussion that you've heard so far with regard to the fact that the Supreme Court just a week or two ago punted on this issue and sent it back to a lower court? I think it was the North Carolina issue, or one very similar to it, and that President Trump has revoked a previous order from Barack Obama on the bathroom issue.
Well, that might be one of the reasons why we haven't seen this come up for a committee vote yet. The sponsor, Senator Ed Emery, said a few weeks back that that since this the executive order came out, they're kind of just seeing what that means locally and whether or not that whether or not that, how that would affect the future of movement of this bill through the Missouri legislature. That coupled with comments from nearly a month ago from both House Speaker Todd Richardson and Senate President Pro Tem Ron Richard, who both told reporters that they think that the decision regarding bathroom facilities should be decided at the local level. Local school boards should be making those decisions, ideally, in a perfect world. That was basically their message.
We have an email here from David in Chesterfield who asks specifically, how exactly are the requirements of this bill that is now being considered to be enforced? Do you have any notion of that?
I would have to look a little bit further deeper into the text of the bill, but I can maybe put something out later on Twitter about that.
Yeah, well, clearly school officials would have to find some mechanism to do that.
Yes.
Before there are any incidents.
And I'm given to understand as well that guidelines for setting all that up, if this were to become law, that local school districts would have some input into how that would be put into place.
Yeah. Well, let's, Marshall, we can, let's move along to some other things. One of the things that kind of caught my eye during the course of the last week was the fact that Governor Greitens has issued an executive order on paid parental leave, but it applies only to executive department employees. I'm wondering if any of the folks you talked to on the legislative side are concerned about this.
A little bit. Ron Richard actually talked about it yesterday. He's the president pro tem of the Senate. He has a really good relationship with Governor Greitens. Based on what Richard has told me, he says he meets with him about once a week, and they've got a pretty good working relationship. But he did did express a little concern about where the money will come from this, and so did Democratic Senator Jill Shoup, who loves the idea, but she also said, well, we may need to take a look at where the state revenues to support these this paid leave would come from, whether or not there needs to be any working of various budgets here and there to make sure that the state can actually afford this.
So the money problems since we last talked have not gone away in Jefferson City.
No, they haven't. They haven't magically gone away, or in the past few months since the session started.
Yeah, yes. Clearly, it's a big deal, a big problem for the state. Let's take a quick look, Marshall, if we can, at the first half of this session. They'll be going until May, but they got busy very, very quickly on this right to work thing, didn't they?
Oh yes, that was. They made no secret that right to work, turning that into state law, was their top priority for the whole year, but also a very early priority. They wanted to get that out of the way fast and quick, and they did. They got it. I mean, they got it to I believe they got it to the governor's desk before the end of January, and of course, and Greitens signed it into law in early February. Some labor unions are now trying to, use some legal procedures to attach some type of referendum clause onto it that would delay the bill from taking effect on August 28th unless voters have some input. That particular procedure hasn't been finalized yet. The first attempt to do that has failed, but I believe there's another attempt underway to try to at least get. to a mechanism to allow voters to actually be able to vote on this, even though it's already been signed into law.
Why is implementation held until August 28th?
Because that's the date that state laws take effect in Missouri. That's the official date. Any bill that becomes law in Missouri takes effect on August 28th, unless it's specified. Sometimes it's specified for a later date, like January 1st. Sometimes, if an emergency clause is attached to a bill, that means the law would take effect immediately upon being signed by the governor. But unless otherwise specified, every state law takes effect August 28th each year.
Okay. A couple of other things as time begins to move along for us. There is consideration of stricter guidelines on expert witnesses. Where is that?
That's on its way to the governor's desk. That was one bill that got sent out, I believe, Wednesday night or yesterday. That bill got sent to Governor Greitens, and it's part of the tort reform package of bills that are designed to decrease the number of lawsuits in Missouri. The Democrats say this is basically going to make Missouri a more dangerous state and a less secure state for workers, while the supporters say this is going to make Missouri a much more business-friendly climate than it currently is. But that was one of the major pieces, and that one's on its way to the governor.
And he'll sign it because he made a big deal of this in the State of the State address.
Yes, he did. He's basically called it St. Louis a judicial hellhole, and this expert witness bill is one piece of that package of proposed bills to address what Governor Greitens said during his State of the State address.
Any action on lobbyists? I know that was an issue that a lot of people were talking about.
Yes, the lobbyist gift ban. Also a very early bill. The House jumped on that right away and actually sent that bill over to the Senate before the governor delivered his State of the State address. That happened on that bill got sent to the Senate on January 17th. And it's had a hearing in the Senate, and since then, nothing official has happened. Now, I actually have talked to a number of lawmakers because I'm working on a story that's set to air next week about the lobbyist gift ban, and that basically what I've been told is that there is a lot of work going on behind the scenes to, you know, come up with some type of proposal or language that can get out of the Senate. So I don't know if you remember last year's bill to ban lobbyist gifts also made it out of the House rather quickly and then got stuck in the Senate and died in the Senate because there were a few senators who were concerned that the language is too broadly written. One famous example, a conversation between Republican Dave Schatz and Democrat Kiki Curls, both expressing concern like, well, am I committing an ethics violation if I eat a slice of pizza sitting outside on a table in the hallway next to a certain lawmaker's office, and I don't know, you know, which lobbyist or if a lobbyist paid for that pizza. Am I suddenly in violation of the lobbyist gift ban? So it was little minutia like that which caused the bill to slow down, get stuck, and die last year.
Any sense at all as to whether or not it'll pass this time?
I believe it'll have a better chance. Now, I would say its chances are much improved this year. Because you have Governor Greitens, who's also championing various ethics reforms, and this is one of them too. But I think the key is going to be can something be written up in this that will satisfy various members of the Senate who were not happy with last year's bill. I think that's going to be the key. And that the House, I mean, they've obviously come together quickly on it. Send it out again quickly, and so now it's in the Senate's corner.
Right. We only have a minute left. The budget is something, obviously, that's going to take a lot of attention.
Yes, the one thing that lawmakers are required by law to pass, the state budget, which actually it's made up of 13 different budget bills that those 13 bills cover different various state agencies, but those are the bills that they are required by law to pass. They have until the Friday, May 5th to pass them, which is exactly 1 week before session ends. Now, the really fun part is that normally by this time, the state budget will have already been passed by the House and already sent over to the Senate. That has not happened yet, and it will not happen the week after they get back.
Let me stop you there because we have a time constraint here, Marshall. We'll be listening to you and reading your posts online.
Thank you
for being with us.